Now let us read God's word together in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Very rich lessons. And I may say, if you catch the message, I shall be preaching out of God's word. It will be the richest blessing you can ever have. Much better than silver and gold. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Please follow carefully, because it is of greatest profit to you. 1 Timothy 6, 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into the world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, that is clothing, let us be therewith content, satisfied. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows and regrets. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on the eternal life, whereunto you are also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they may not be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Amen. May God bless to us this reading of His own infallible, inerrant, inspired, preserved word. The love of money. Who doesn't love money? Hands up. Of course, we all love money, more or less. The trouble is when we love money too much. Love money, to value money and to save it, that's all right. But when you set your heart and mind all the time thinking of money, 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 that is a big problem. I was reading Time magazine 2 weeks ago, and the headline says, "The Price of Greed." What is the problem we face today in the great downturn and breakdown of many financial institutions? Big, big names all collapse. Answer is greed. Love of money gone uncontrolled, gone wild. It says here, for years, the financial markets of the world roared along as though there's nothing to fear, not even law and regulations, because many of them were ignored and people didn't care for them. Now, it's payback time. And all of us here in Singapore, whether you know it or not, whether you care or not, what happens in Wall Street affects you here. Amazing. So this is what we are talking about today. Love of money. Because they grew up in America, a great number of people who set their hearts on making money, without money, borrowing, This was the problem. Without security. And suddenly when thousands and hundreds of thousands of people could not pay back what they owed, there was a big problem. Turn to God's word. And this is our lesson for today. If you catch the lesson that God's word teaches us today, it is better than your making any amount of money. 1 Timothy 6:6. Please follow carefully. You have your Bibles open and follow, because God speaks to you. I am only the translator, the messenger, the oracle. Yes, what God says, I say to you. It only help you to understand better. Verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. All of us have the profit motive. We want gain. Nobody wants a loss. Now, how can you get it? The Apostle Paul, who says, I've lost everything. I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but nothing, like dung, rubbish. But I've gained Christ. When you have Jesus as your Savior and Lord and your Master who lives in your heart, what does it matter if you do suffer a loss? And I dare say, some of you here, because of this present financial crisis and meltdown, have suffered somewhere, somehow. Didn't make enough, make a loss. You are sorry, troubled. Today, if you come to the Lord, renew your vow and say, Lord, let me have you as my first love. That is godliness. What is godliness? Put God first in your heart. Everything, Jesus first. I must consult him. I will not do anything that he does not want me to do. That is godliness. Simple. Not because you have attended Bible college. That is good, but that in itself does not qualify for this. Godliness is putting Jesus first. Now today, if you go back and say, yes, I think so, let me ask you a simple three questions, just simply three, to test whether you are a godly person, yes or no. Very godly, slightly godly, not godly. Which are you? First, when you wake up in the morning, what is your first thought? First thought. First serious thought. Is it about the Lord? Thanking him for a good night's rest? Or even for a poor night's rest? Thanking him for life? Or is your first thought, wow, let me go and consult what's happened to my stocks and shares? Or something like that. That's the first thought. What is it? Strikes you first. Number two, what do you read first in the morning? First thing. Straits Times, always first. Or something else. Or television, news, CNN. Or, I have my appointment with my Lord. I must read his word. His word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path, a guide for me today. There are some people who never go to work without consulting their horoscope. I say it is a horoscope. Don't, please. Your life and your time and your future and your goodness does not escape the Lord. You cannot go outside of the Lord. Consult him first thing in the morning. What is it first that you think of and read in the morning? Is it the Psalms or the RPG? Is it, oh, you're too dry, lah. I wait till you're in trouble, then you understand God's word is so wonderful. So, what do you read in the morning? That's question number two. Number three. What is your plan for the day? What do you plan to do every day? Do you have an objective? Do you consult God what you should do and do it to his glory? Just three questions. You check on yourself. Now, come back. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, It is certain we can carry nothing out. I always remind you, the earth is like this black dot here. This black dot. Right? And the sun is out there. And this earth goes round the sun. And we are put here on this orbiting planet. For a certain time, did someone ask you, your permission, can we put you on this earth? No, nobody asked you your permission. You're just put here. And then one day, without your knowing, you are taken out. And then you have to give an account. We all are accountable because we are not free agents. We are put here, we are taken out, then we face a judgment. What have you got to say on that day when God, who made you, says, tell me now, give an account of your life. Verse 7, we brought nothing into this world. When you came out, everyone knows this. Naked, crying, some yelling, and helpless. You know, of all babies, the most helpless is the human baby. How helpless are you? Anything up to 10 years, up to 15 years, helpless, depending on father and mother. What a creature. To remind us, we all are helpless. We depend on God. Father and mother, yes, they are agents, they are instruments. But God is the one who cares for us. And we are put here, taken out, naked come in, naked go out. Then why do we put so much attention and care and pain and trouble into this human body? As I've always said in that story of the reason why, the young lady received a $10,000 diamond ring and thanks the young man, darling, thank you for the box. I will polish box. I will every day care for that box. But she doesn't mention anything about the $10,000 diamond ring. Why? Reminds us of the care you put to the body. How ladies sit in front of the mirror so long just to make herself look better, to dress better, to go out, putting all the things on the box and forgot there is a diamond ring. That is you, your soul. What do you do for the soul? Health foods. Health foods only cost money and do not really increase your health at all. Don't worry. So people do all that, not knowing that the body is only a case for the soul, and very soon, before you know, it rots away. The moment you stop breathing, it starts rotting, you know that. And within a few hours, you smell. And within a few days, you melt away. Then why do we spend so much time and money and energy on that useless body? Verse 8. And having food and raiment and clothing, that's enough. Be content. What does the word of content mean? Satisfied. Don't all the time bear a grudge as though somebody owes you a living. You don't have enough. Never satisfied, always hankering for more and more. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. True. So true. True of whom? Many people. I hope it's not of you. But there are many examples in front of our eyes. You can see it every day. When we went to Penang for 4 weeks and began to read the newspapers, to our horror, every day headlines, Director of Immigration under investigation for fraud, for all kinds of corrupt practices. People in the law business, people who enforce the law, are caught breaking the law, stealing money. Every day headlines. Just recall those who have ruled Southeast Asia. President Marcos, billions of dollars. President Suharto, billions of dollars gone. And just north of the border, a man called Mr. Thaksin, who owns Manchester City Football Club, under investigation. Why is it? Oh, my friends, these are lessons to all of us. Godliness with contentment is the greatest gain, the greatest profit, better than you making $1 million and having a lot of money in the bank. True? Absolutely. God's word is never wrong. Only thing is we read in one year, out the other year, and say, it's for other people, it's not for me. I say, it's for you. The fact that you're here today is God put you here. And God's word is for you. You may not like it, but God's word is true, doesn't change. And it will judge you in the day to come, when you stand before the Creator Judge, to give an account of your life, how you spend it. Verse 10. The love of money is the root of all evil. When I was a medical student, there was a song which says, money is the root of all evil. I said, that is a wrong quote, a misquote of scripture. It's not money. Money is inert, is indifferent, is a dead thing. You can use it. Money can help you do good, do bad, or do all kinds of things. Money is only an instrument. So money is not the root of any evil, but it's the love of money. It's the people who manipulate money. Is there this love of money in your heart? I said, dear friends, today, God sent you here to hear this message. Message from God's word that say, don't put your affection on getting rich. If you can learn this lesson, it is the best thing today, better than any prophet. I always remember my pastor when I was 6, 7, and up to 10 and 12. For 5 or 6 years, I sat under the preaching of this old pastor who happened to be my grandfather. Listen to this. In his will, he says, to my dear children, I leave you this will. When I am gone, remember me. I have never tried to accumulate great wealth for you. He said, what a father. We are your sons, and you say you don't want to accumulate money for us. Useless father. I say, wonderful father. I got his will with me. But only to trust that God will give me the wisdom to lead you to faith in God. There's nothing better that you can give to your children than the faith in God. Not how much in the bank account, how big a will you will leave them. And those things are secondary. They come and go. You give them a lot of money. Many of them get ruined by the money. So, now he continues to say, so that you may receive the real blessings. What is the real blessing? I'm sure you want to know that, don't you? What is the real blessing? I understand a lot of money is not a blessing, but true blessing comes from faith in God. If you have faith in God, better than any amount of money. Again, when I came under my grandfather's care, I was 6. And he says, Sun, that is Teochew for grandson, come here. Pray that God will give you faith. I said, grandfather, what is faith? I don't understand. He says, never mind. Now you don't understand. You pray, then you will understand. All right, you pray. God, give me faith. What is faith? Faith is simply believing God. Read His word. What His word says, I believe. And act on that belief. If God's word says, do not covet. Stop hankering after more money. How to get richer faster. Those things do not count. Earn a good day's living. Work hard. Strive. If you get promotion, that's good. It is part of the business of growing up and becoming a good, honest citizen for Singapore, which we need all the time. That is good. But to think of ways and means, when you are director of immigration, every work pass I give you, you give me $10. Wow! 1,000 work passes means $10,000. These are the things that go on. And so you can imagine how else people can make money. Crooked ways. Think of how to swindle, make more money. Now, back to my grandfather. True blessing comes from faith in God. Pray every day. Faith in God meaning to say, Lord, if I read your word, give me also obedience to do your word. It's no use reading and I know the Ten Commandments, but I never follow and never obey the Ten Commandments. If the Tenth Commandment says, thou shalt not covet, don't be greedy. Don't think of ways to swindle, to make a bigger dollar every day and cheat. Never do that. Therefore, I do not save a lot of wealth for my children. Happiness is in the spirit, and our heritage from God is more than enough. What God gives to you, be contented. Thank Him for health, for life, for jobs, for income, and for safety every day. For these things, God gives to you freely. Verse 10, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. How sad it is then when you live in a community where the leaders, the big names, those in power are corrupt and they do it and you know it, but there's nothing you can do about it except change the government, vote in a new government, and the new government continues the same thing, exactly the same. How do you account for all these things? I say, thank God we don't live on earth forever. It's only a passing moment, and you got to suffer under a corrupt government. There is nothing you can do about it except vote them up and vote another government to do the same thing. So what can you do? I say, godliness with contentment. Thank God we are not here forever. We are only here as passers-by, and soon we are gone. But while you are on earth, while you are in control of your life in the particular area, be godly. Godliness, contentment, and do your work. Every day do your work. Do the glory of God. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. You know it. Straits Times tells you all the corrupt things people are doing. Don't say, yeah, let me learn how to do it. But let me flee from youthful lusts. Flee from all these corrupt practices. Flee from everything that is ungodly. I must not do it. Why? Because I am a child of God. I am a citizen of the heavenly kingdom. I am different. I'm saved already from my past corrupt life. Sinful life, sinful things are things of the past already. I must therefore live the Christ life. Jesus Christ in me. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my model, my example. He is my strength, my light, my life, everything. Do you have that conviction, dear friends, today? Godliness with contentment. Godliness, putting God first. Now let's run on. Verse 11. Follow after. Now here's a good list for you to follow. Please follow carefully. Righteousness, doing that which is according to God's law. You know it. Learn the Ten Commandments. Learn them. And Jesus says, you love me. Keep my commandments. So simple. And who here on in this audience will say, I don't love Jesus? Of course. All of us can say that, true? Of course. He who died for us, He who saved us out of our sins, He who makes a place for us in heaven, we all love Him. And He says, you truly love me? You truly? Keep my commandments. And then that is the way to righteousness. So, verse 11. Follow after righteousness. Godliness, put God first. Put Jesus first. Put His law first. Put His kingdom first. Do you strive for the kingdom of God? I see there are so many empty seats here. And it's about the same as when I came here 2-3 years ago. About the same. What have you done for God's kingdom? Have you ever gone to somebody to talk to him about the kingdom of God? Do you make it a point, everyone you can meet You can speak a word for the Lord Jesus to do so. Do you? Do you really? If you do, I dare say this, all these empty seats will not be here. They will be filled with people because you brought them here. Give this a thought. When I go jogging, I look for opportunities to witness for the Lord. When I stop at the RELC outside here, I see them bringing down the flags. There are about 10 flags, and it takes a long time. So I stop there and talk to the flag movers. And talk to them. If they are Malays, I don't tell them too much, because it's a law against witnessing. But if you find a Chinese, we open up. Indian fellow, I tell him. Tell him about Jesus Christ. Give him a tract. Give him a something. Oh, dear friends, do you ever think of you being an instrument of righteousness to someone? Because of you, one day when you get in heaven, someone will come up to say, thank you for telling me about Jesus. Thank you for telling me about God and the way of salvation. And I heard it because of you. I'm here today. Think of it. These empty seats have a message. Thou, O man of God, follow after these things. The third one, faith. Yes, I told you about grandfather. I said, I don't know what the faith is. He said, never mind, you just pray. You pray, Lord, give me faith. Faith means simply believing in God and doing what He says. Very simple. Abraham was a man of faith. He heard God call him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, modern Iraq. And God said to him, Abraham, get out. I have a better place for you. He says, good. Lord, I think that's a good advice. And he goes back and closes his business and uproots his whole family out of here. And Abraham was a very rich man. That is faith. And because he had that faith, God blessed him, blessed his family, made him a great nation. And he says, through you, I will bless the whole world. Amazing. God is still blessing. Because of the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ, born a Jew. Yes, and because of him, he's blessing all of us here today because of that promise. Because Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now run on. Love. Pray for love. Love meaning to put yourself in the other person's place. Very simply. And to sympathize always. Don't criticize. Patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Now we come to verse 17 as our time is running out. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Let me ask you a question. When you gave your offering this morning, did you prepare that offering? Did you prepare? When it comes to giving to God, did you ever calculate? Do you treat God as a poor relative, someone who needs some small change, and you say, well, here it is, small change. How do you give to God? Please pardon my saying so. Think of God's gift to you. God spared not His only Son, but freely gave Him to us all. How do you repay that kind of gift that you receive freely? That because Jesus came and died for you on the cross, you have a future, something to look forward to beyond the grave. You know you have a home prepared for you simply because Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. I go and prepare a place for you. So, doesn't matter on this earth whether you have more or less. Soon you will be with me in the heavenly kingdom. This is God's gift. Now, when it comes to repaying God, God says, bring in your tithes, bring in your offering, so that there will be meat in my house, so that there will be money here for doing God's work beyond Singapore. How did you give your tithe? Is it small change? How? God so loved you, He gave His all to you, His only begotten Son, the only one Son, gave to you. To be your Savior. So think of that. Second part of verse 17, the end of it. But in the living God, trust in the living God, not in uncertain riches. There are so many people who think they have so much money here. And when the stock market is like a bubble. You know what is a bubble? You play bubbles when you were small. You blow the bubble, you got to keep blowing, and the bubble gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and you want until it bursts into nothing. This is a picture of the stock market. We suffered under the stock market bursting in 1930. Many of you were not here then. And because of that, we suffered. Now you understand the stock market. Everybody is in the frenzy to buy. When everybody buys, the price goes up. It's like a bubble. More people buy it, it goes bigger and bigger. And then when everybody says, time to sell, everybody tries to sell and nobody wants, the whole market collapses. Trust not in uncertain riches. They are never certain. Lord, don't put your trust in money. Don't feel so comforted because you got so much savings. These things do not last. But trust in the living God, the one who gave you this life, the one who came to save you out of your distress, out of your helplessness. Put your trust in Him, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Every day, thank God. My wife and I, every day, thank God. When we sit down for breakfast, we thank God. I look at her, she looks at me, we're happy. Yes, another day, another day. You never know when is the last day. When in the morning I wake up, I thank God. Yes, she thanks God. Why? Because we trust in the living God. He is the one who gives us this hope in life. Without Him, there is no hope. Absolutely none. All right, now, verse 18. That they do good. How do you do good? Think. I cannot prescribe for you how you do good. It may be a poor relative who comes to you. It may be someone who writes to you a letter because he knows you are caring and you can do something. And how do you respond to these things? These calls come to me almost daily for some kind of counseling, for time, for attention, for help. In some way or other, it keeps coming. How do you respond? God help us. They do good. Verse 18. Do good, dear friends. Think of. If you are saved, you are saved to serve. And how can you serve the Lord? With your substance where you can. Of course, within limits, with wisdom, to know what you can do with the money God has given to you. Be rich in good works. Rich in good works. You try it. Yes. God will give you the opportunity to do, and when you see the result of it, you will thank God. Only you will experience the joy of giving. I cannot tell you how to do or what to do, but God will tell you. Be ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Do you? Are you of that kind of nature? Verse 19, concluding. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation. May you do that. You lay up in store for yourself a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. What is eternal life? Oh, dear friends, today is an assurance that I have Jesus, the living God, in me. I have put my faith only in Jesus Christ. For He is God the Son, my Savior. I have in Him absolute confidence, assurance. For He says, because I live, you will live also. Jesus said to Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. I tell you today, what is your biggest problem? The biggest problem today is what? When will I die? That is the biggest problem. Yes. In Jesus Christ, you have the absolute confidence and the answer to that question. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. What's the use of your having lots of money? There are those in the hospital who are facing death. And that threat of death causes them to tell the doctor, Doctor, you heal me, I give you 5 million or 1 million, whatever it is. Doctor says, my friend, I can't even help myself to live another minute. How can I help you? True, absolutely. And so what? If you do live another so many days or years or months, it comes to the end again, you say, give me more life. Answer is not in this life, living longer and getting older and getting weaker and dying again. Answer is, what is the end of life? What is beyond the grave? Jesus says, I am the resurrection. That is the greatest profit you can ever have. The better than any riches, better than any amount of money, better than anything else. Just to know, I have a Savior, Jesus Christ. He died for me on the cross to take my sins. And He rose for me to ensure my salvation, my righteousness. And He's coming for me because He's preparing a place for me. And He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. This is the best gain, the most wonderful thing you can ever have, better than any money. Godliness with contentment is riches, is the best gain. Do you have Him? I speak to someone here today, some friend, some person who is seeking earnestly. I come to church every day, every Sunday. I want to know what is the answer to my life problem. I know I'm growing older. I may die anytime. What is the solution? Solution is godliness and contentment. And the best godliness is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and put all your faith in Him and say, Lord, I know I cannot save myself. Neither can anybody save me. I know You only because, why? Jesus rose from the dead. No one else did. This is a fact of history. And because He lives, I shall live. In Adam all die, in Christ shall all be made alive. That is the best godliness with contentment. Once you have Jesus as your Savior, be contented, satisfied. Every day, praising the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, grant that we may understand the real issues of life. Not in having a lot of the world's goods, not in physical health, not in possessions, but in knowing Jesus as Savior and living a godly life. Every day conscious that we are here but as travelers, pilgrims. Every day conscious that we have a Savior and we have put all our faith and trust in Jesus, soon coming King of Kings, Lord of Lords. O Lord, give to us all this godly contentment. In Jesus' name, Amen.